Well, let me introduce to you our speaker this morning. His name is Pastor Taffa Victor. And this is a picture of his family. He's married and has three little ones there that I'm sure he dearly misses, and they dearly miss him. But yes, Pastor Taffa is the senior pastor. He's the founding pastor of Salvation Baptist Church in Cameroon. I'm not going to try to say the name of the capital city because I would mess it up. But he has been the pastor there for 8 years. He started this church from scratch, and they are running 800 people, 800 adults right now. And you'll notice on the right hand, yeah, give God the glory. You'll notice on the right hand of this picture, there's a balcony. So there are people sitting underneath that balcony and people on top of that balcony. So you pray for that balcony, that that balcony will not collapse, but they are trying to pack as many people in as possible. And that's not counting the children. He has a very young church. The average age of his congregation is between 25 and 35 years old. So you can imagine the number of children that are in that church, over 200 children that they're having to minister to during their worship service. But Pastor Taffa, he's attending the International Theological Seminary in El Monte. He's working on his doctorate there. And so he has to come to the United States once a year for about twice a year for how long? 12 weeks, 3 months, okay. So that's why he's here in California. And Pastor Taffa has affiliated with the High Desert Baptist Association. He got in touch with Don Parker, our missionary. And so that's how I became aware of Pastor Taffa. And there was an ordination council that he went through about 2 weeks ago now. And so he was ordained as a Southern Baptist pastor by our association 2 weeks ago. Congratulations for that. And so we are really excited to have him share the word this morning, what he's going to be sharing this evening. He is building, his church is building a boarding school for secondary students at his church, and you're going to hear more about that this evening. But I am so glad that he's here this morning, and we want to bless him as he blesses us. So there are love offering envelopes in the pocket in front of you, and so I want to encourage you to be a generous giver this morning in that love offering, and you can just drop that in the box as you leave this service this morning. But would you please give him a warm welcome, Pastor Taffa.
Thank you. I don't know if... okay, you can hear me. I just wanted to be sure. Maybe you saw me displacing some equipment. You know, in Africa, we move when we preach. So I okay, I want to be sure that I'm not blocked. But I'm surprised, I did not know that you got some pictures of my church.
I'm stalking you on Facebook.
Thank you, Pastor Bill, and the wife. You are a wonderful family, a wonderful parents to me. I have a lot of parents now in the United States, and if you did not adopt me, I have adopted you. You know, they adopted children, but I think children can also adopt parents, so I'm adopting you all equally. Thank you. So I'm glad to be here. I'm privileged this morning to speak to you. I want to thank each one of you for this opportunity given to me, thanking the church leadership and the pastor. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas, in Life Point Church. And, you know, I have like the same message, but I will not preach the message that I preached there yet today, But it's the same message, because when I move around America, I notice that there are great structures, and the structures are there, but at times the people are not there. In Africa, you see, he just showed the picture of my congregation. You see, we don't have a structure, but we have the people. So I kept asking myself, what could the problem be? And I understood that we seem to be kind of complicit. And I said, okay, thank God you brought the gospel to us. And we are privileged today to come back and encourage you to say you did something great in our lives. I'm standing here today because missionaries died in Africa many years ago. And here in America, we have to continue doing this work and not just go far. I want us to read our Bibles this morning. Let's open our Bibles. Generally, I speak a bit fast. And back home, when I am preaching, they are interpreting, because we have, you know, my first language is French. So English is just my second language. So at times, if I say something that you don't understand, you can ask your neighbor, did you understand him? You may want to do that at times. But if you are able to hear me, I praise God for that. So I speak at times. Thank you, brother. I speak. Oh, you know, when you say amen, I feel I'm in my church. So you better say amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So I speak at times a bit fast, but I will do my best to be a bit slow so that you will be able to really get me. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, take from verse 11 to verse 27. I've been reading this passage, you know, during the last days when I was told that I'm going to preach here. So let me read here. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. And so he called 10 of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. And he was made king, however, and he returned home. Then he sent for the servant to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in every small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, there is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. And his master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you?
that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. And he replied, I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, we and Satan speak to God. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you again for this great privilege you have given me as your servant, your slave, to proclaim your word. Lord, I pray that with your fear in my heart, my spirit, I will speak only that which will bring glory to your name, what you are asking me to say, not to promote my own gospel or my own message, but the very one that you left for us to preach. Be glorified here in Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I pray, O Lord, that all what you have been doing here, that through me this morning, you will even do greater things and continue working in their midst. Because they believe in you and they believe in the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that this word will come out with power and bring transformation to many. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, this parable, you know, when I used to read this parable before, what I used to first think about was that is like the same parable that is told, you know, in Matthew chapter 25. But when I study it with a different perspective, I understood that, you know, the parables are like they are kind of different. And the background of this parable, actually, when I tried to understand, you know, what people had to say about this, I got so many people saying that, you know, this parable was told, you know, in the context where Herod the Great or his sons, you know, were going to Emperor Caesar, were going, you know, to the region, you know, where the emperor was to be confirmed as king, because the tradition here was that when the king was chosen, you know, he will move to Rome and be confirmed by the emperor, and after being confirmed, he will come back and then rule over his people. And so the story is told by the great Jewish historian Josephus, who said that the son of Emperor the Great, of Herod the Great, you know, he went to be made king by Caesar, and as he went to be made king, you know, the tradition was that when you go to be made king, you know, your people will stay and work toward welcoming you back, or toward you know, protesting toward you being the king over them. And so the son of Herod went to Caesar. And so a team of Jews stayed back and protested and said, we don't want him to be our king. So as they protested, they went to Caesar protesting. And so Caesar, you know, granted his request, you know, to be king, but with a condition that he will not be king over all, because there were a lot of protests. So he came back, but was not king over, you know, all the Jews. So he was king only in a portion of the Jewish land. So his kingdom was kind of a limited kingdom. And so Jesus is giving this parable, and you know, with this background, we can understand what actually was going on and the reason why he will give a parable like this. You know, referring certainly to himself. And we all know that after his death and resurrection, so he went to heaven, and he gave his disciples the Great Commission. I'm sure we all have that Great Commission. Can we repeat that Great Commission? What did he say? He said, go and make where? All nations. Amen. So I'm glad this morning because there are many nations represented here. I'm a different nation. You are a different nation. My brother, maybe a different nation. We have different nations represented here. So meaning that this gospel actually is being preached as the Lord requested. But now the point here is that when the king, you know, will go to Rome, come back as king, you know, what the people will stay and be doing, you know, will determine how he will be received when he comes back. Will also determine what he will do, you know, when he comes back. So while he, the son of King Herod, was away, some people stayed and said, we don't want him to be our king. Okay, we don't want him to be our king. So I don't know if you are trying to have understanding here, you know, of the context of Christianity, where Jesus has gone and some people have stayed and definitely are saying, we don't want him to be our king. Amen. And so that was the context. We don't want him to be our king. Okay, so now, then Jesus was telling his followers, now there are people that will stay and say we don't want him to be our king, but what should the follower be doing while the master is away to be crowned as king? That was the point. Because what is sure is that as the son of Herod came back as king, Jesus is coming back as king. Amen. So he came back as king, the son of Herod, even though he was not king over all Jews, but he came back as king. But now the best thing that a king coming back will want to see is that those who stayed, who were his followers, will work, you know, toward bringing the rest of the kingdom together so that he comes back and meets a large kingdom. And not part of the kingdom, like the son of Herod came back and was just given a portion. But I thank God so many people had this understanding in the past, because Jesus would not want to come back and have only America as his kingdom. Amen. He would not want to come back and have only Cameroon, my country, as his kingdom. He would not want to come back and have only Europe as his kingdom. He wants to come back as the king of the world. And now if we have this understanding, what are we doing for Jesus to come back and be king over all? Because what is sure is that there are people who are protesting, we don't want him to be our king. That happened, right? So many people, you know, woke up, you know, in the days of Christ, and they said, we have only Caesar as king. We don't have Jesus as king. We don't know him as our king. We don't want him to be king. Now they were protesting when he was here because he came to save. You know, during the time that Christ is saving men, men are free to protest that they don't want him. So many are free to say we don't want him to be our king. That is what happened when Jesus was on earth. Many protested. We don't want him. We want Caesar to be our king. We don't want Jesus to be our king. And that is what I see when I move on the street. I see the way people are, some people are dressed. They say, we don't want Jesus to be our king. I see the way some people are behaving in the society. They are saying, we don't want Jesus to be our king. I see the way some people are talking, you know, in the media. They are saying, we don't want Jesus to be our king. But some one thing that is sure is that when Jesus comes back, those who say we don't want him and those who said we want him will have no choice to have him as the king.
Because when you stay, when the king is not yet made king, you are free to protest that you don't want him. You are free to protest that you don't want him. You are free to say what you want to say, but when he comes back, you have no choice. He is king. And right now, Donald Trump is president for every American, whether you voted for him or not. Whether you like him or not, he is president, right? You know, back home in my country, I don't want my president, you know, to still be the one in power, because he has been there since I was born. He has been there for 36 years now in power. As you can imagine, one person. Since I'm born, I've known only one president. I don't want him to be there, but he is my president. Some people don't want to hear that Jesus is the only way to God, but that is the truth. Nothing can change that. Some people don't want to understand that it is only through Jesus that we shall be saved. You are free not to believe in that. You are free not to accept that. You are free to choose your own way. But when he comes back, he will be king over all. And when he comes back, he is coming back to judge. He's not coming back to save again. Do you know that when Jesus shall come back, he is not coming to save? It is now he is saving. He is saving now. But the challenge with Christians today is that they live as if they don't know that Jesus is coming back as king. And that everybody that you see around who accepted him or rejected him will be judged by him as the king. Your neighbors will be judged by him. Your relatives will be judged by him. Your friends will be judged by him. Whether they accepted him or not, he is coming as the king and they will be judged by him. But now it's time to save them. I'm putting that in quote. Hallelujah. And now what did the king do? What did Jesus do when he went to heaven? You know, when he went to heaven, going to heaven, the Bible says here, you see what happened? He called his followers here, because he is the one that is being referred to here. So he called his followers and gave them, he called 10 servants and gave them each one mina. Did they say mina or mina or which one? Mina, right? So I said it well. So he gave them 10 minas. You see, this parable is different. It's different from the parable in Matthew 25 that says that he called one and gave to one 5, to another 2, and to the other 1. Is it like that? Now, in Matthew 25, he is talking about the gift that he gave the church. As Ephesians chapter 4 will tell us, that he ascended unto her and gave gift to men. And all the men don't have the same gift. But here he's not talking about the fact that we have different gifts. He's talking about something that he has given to each one. The Bible says that he called 10 manas and he called 10 servants and gave each one mina, right? No, he did not give 10 mina, he gave one to each one. So it's not about the talents given to each one. Oh, thank you, sir. So it's about the mina given to each one. And the mina given to each one here is what each one of us has received as we became saved. Do you know that when you became saved, each one of us, we were saved through the gospel? Amen? The gospel saved each one of us. Now, for us to be saved, we receive the gospel. When you receive the gospel, then you are saved. And when you receive this gospel, if truly you have received this gospel, you have to give it out. Because the one who had 10 produced 10 other miners. I received the gospel and I want to produce more people who have also received the gospel. And this has to be done by every Christian. Each one of us. It's not the work of the pastor. It's not the work of the deacons. It's not the work of the youth. It's not the work of the music. It's the work of every Christian. It's not for those who are strong. It's not for those who are weak. It's for everybody. I want to tell your neighbor, say each one of us, this is our work. And so this morning I'm talking under the theme, we have a common mission to keep gaining ground with the gospel. It's our common mission. It's for each one of us. And if each one could do what we are called to do, I'm telling you, oh, the one who received 10, when he came to the master and said, you gave me 10 minas, and now I've gained 10, he said, I put you in charge of 10 cities. Amen? He wants us to be in charge of Red Crèche. Is it how they call this place? Right Crèche? Rich Crèche? Don't laugh because Pastor Bill could not call the name of my capital. Amen. He gave the one who brought 10. He said, oh, you brought 10? So you are in charge of 10 cities. So he was saying, I brought 10 cities. My king can control the city. My king can control 10 cities. Jesus wants to control this city. Hallelujah. He wants to control this city. And for him to control this city, he needs your neighbor to be gained in his kingdom. If your neighbor can gain in his kingdom, because most often we think about mission from far and forget about mission around us. We are very prone to go to Africa, but we forget about going around. We are very good in going, you know, traveling, going for mission, and we forget about mission in our offices. We forget about missions in our neighborhood. That is what most often takes place, and the churches in America are becoming more and more empty. When I come to America, I'm telling you, I feel bad when I enter some big churches and I go for Bible study. I have 2 people. Bible study, 2 people. Prayer meeting, I don't know if there is. But prayer meeting, you have few people. I'm like, what is happening? They say, oh, pastor, you know, our society has changed. No, the society has never been different. The society has never been different. It has always been this. People have always opposed Jesus. From the days of Jesus, there were men who said, we want Caesar as king. We don't want Jesus as king. So it is the same. And 12 people were able to win thousands of souls for Christ. Jesus has not called us to go and convert people. He has called us simply to preach the gospel. Now you have to know something here. The man who won the 10 minas came and said, the 10 minas have won 10 others. He did not say, I won. He said, the man has won. It is not you to win people, it's the gospel to win people. But the mistake that we have today is that we think that we are the one to do the work. And so because of that, oh, that my neighbor, how would that my neighbor look at me if I talk to him? How would that my friend look at me if I talk to her? No, talk is about the gospel. Ask yourself the question, how will my friend see the gospel? Let the gospel do his work. Let the gospel do his work in the life of the people. It's not for you to do the work. We want to take the place of the Holy Spirit and stop the Holy Spirit from doing his work. I was preaching somewhere. I organized a crusade. And as I was preaching, there was this young man who was throwing stones on me as I was preaching. And then I turn and look at him. You know, I don't really see him well. So he would throw stones and run. He was a Muslim in a crusade. And then I told him, as I kept preaching, and I told him, you will preach this gospel. I said that to him. And 5 years after, I sat in my house and I saw someone who entered my house. And he asked me, do you know me? I said, not really. He said, you were preaching in a crusade somewhere some days. And I was throwing, there was a young man throwing stones at you. I was the one. I said, oh? So why are you here? He said, I am here to tell you that I am now in the seminary to become a pastor. And right now he is a pastor and he had been my associate pastor. He came and he was working under me, but now he's working with a school somewhere. He's a pastor now. So you just need to preach the gospel and the gospel will do its work. You don't look at you. You don't look at the people. Look at the gospel. Preach the gospel. When he's talking about 10 miners that we call the number 10, I was trying to understand the number 10. What does the number 10 represent? He called for 10 people, 10 servants. The number 10 in the Bible, you know, there are three things that I noted, you know, about the number 10 in the Bible. The number 10, you know, looking at the 10 commandments. We all know the 10 commandments. So he called for the 10 and gave them 10 miners. So the word of God, gospel given to each one of us who preach is just like the 10 commandments that Moses gave. These are commandments. It's something that each one must do. You have no choice than to do it. You must do it. The 10 commandments. We also have in the Bible, we also know about tithing that is used for the number 10 in scriptures. Tithing. And tithing is, is kind of testimony of faith in God. So the number 10 represents your testimony about God. Many of us are unable to preach the gospel because we have not received that gospel. So most of those who are not preaching the gospel, they have not been saved themselves. Because if you are saved, you are going to save others. You look at Abraham, when God called Abraham out, when he called him out, I was told that the word call out here means something else. But when God called Abraham out, he told Abraham, he said, come out of your people. He came out and he said that he was going to work with Abraham and make of Abraham a blessing to nations. So if God has truly called you out and you are now living your faith out, God wants to use you to be a blessing to many nations. And I thank God because the church is doing it. Maybe the church is doing it through the leadership of the pastor or some people working with him. And the question is, what are you doing? You as an individual, you know, to reach out to the world, to reach out to people. And someone will say, Pastor, I am giving. I want to tell you, it is not enough to give. You have to preach the gospel. If you are giving for the gospel in Africa to be preached, you can talk to your neighbor here. You don't need to give because, you know, you don't have maybe a lot of needs here. In Africa, we pray before we eat. We can eat. I used to say that the Lord's Prayer is more meaningful in Africa maybe than here. Give us today our daily bread. I don't know, but in America, do you pray for daily bread? I'm not sure you pray for it because there's much food here. When I come here, I struggle so that I should not put on weight. So my biggest problem in America is that I don't want to put on weight. But my problem in Africa may be that I'm cutting down because I'm not able to eat well. And that's the problem with so many. They don't have what to eat. But the gospel is progressive, meaning that it's kind of more meaningful. And I thank God for what he is doing through your church. Thank you. I thank God for what he is doing through the church. I will want you to maybe put your hands together for the glory of God for what he is doing through your church. I saw you going to Togo. And your plans definitely are even greater than that. There are so many things that you are trusting God for. I just came this morning to encourage you to preach this gospel. Let me just cite three things and conclude that discourage people from preaching the gospel.
The first one, I'm already talking about it, is lack of consecration. Lack of consecration. So many Christians today are not consecrated. They have not consecrated their life to live for the gospel, to live for the kingdom of God. And that is why they are indifferent toward preaching the gospel. The second thing is, of course, the result of that lack of consecration is our inaction and neglect. We do nothing about preaching the gospel. You know, there are so many ways that this gospel can be preached. But we do nothing about that. We just come to church every Sunday and then we go back and the gospel is not preached. And then the third and last thing is unfaithfulness. Some people become discouraged. Some people become tired. They have been preaching. When I look at you, you are many of you are my fathers. And you have been preaching this gospel. And I thank God. Said maybe the person through whom the gospel even came to me is sitting here right now. It's very possible. The person whom I have worked for the gospel to come to me. And I thank God for that. And so because of that, some people become tired. They say, we have been preaching. We are tired. Okay, they become, you know, discouraged. They become tired. And permit me to conclude with this anecdote kind of story of this man who was asked by an angel to push a big rock. Okay? So he was pushing the rock, and the rock was not moving. A big stone. It was not moving. And after 3 days, he became discouraged, went and sat down. And then the angel came. And he was not pushing. He said, why have you stopped pushing? He said, I have been pushing and the rock is not moving. And then the angel told him, I did not ask you to move the stone. I simply asked you to push the stone. Because I was the one to move it. Man, you may be discouraged because we are preaching and the people you are preaching to are not coming. Maybe to church, maybe they are not transformed yet. Just keep preaching. As you keep preaching, someone will tell you, you preached to me 10 years ago and today I am a Christian. Keep preaching, don't give up. God bless you.
Well, Pastor, thank you for those words. Church, we serve on the winning team. We just have the responsibility to tell the story. It's God that does the saving. We are to be His witnesses and leave the results to the Lord. And so, keep preaching. Is there somebody in your life that you've grown discouraged about because they don't seem to be moving? Keep giving them to the Lord. You never know when that moment might be when they cross that line of faith. Keep being faithful. And it is only Christ who is going to save them. Christ alone. So that's our invitation this morning as we sing this song, In Christ Alone. As we sing, I want you to be thinking about someone that God's put on your heart that maybe you need to go back to and preach the gospel. You don't have to preach the gospel like Chapa preached it this morning and scream in their face. But no, you just let them know that Jesus loves them and that you love them, and you are there for them. And just see what God does in that relationship.